Our Father in heaven, we thank you that once again we can be gathered in your presence. We pray that you will have the freedom to be in our midst, to speak to us, to renew our minds, to grant us insight into the scriptures. The Spirit of God will have the freedom to help us to understand what you desire to communicate to us, and that our response to the truth will be deep, and that we may indeed become men of truth, firmly grounded in the truth revealed in the scriptures, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We come this time into your loving hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a brief mention of what was covered last night. The field is indeed white for harvest, but the critical issue is, are we properly equipped and ready as God's workmen? So if we are properly equipped, we will definitely be effective and we will bear good fruit. But to be ready and equipped, we must concentrate on four related foundational areas. They are closely related. First, God. Second, truth. Third, the scriptures. Fourth, Christ. And these are four foundational areas which I'll be concentrating on for these four, for the first four messages. So last night we covered the first foundational area, God, the foundational basis of our lives and ministry. And the next three areas and messages actually flow forth from this foundational basis. We have seen it's very important for us to recognize that God is perfect in his being, in all his ways, in his will. And because God is perfect and his will is perfect, we can wholeheartedly worship him, serve him, submit to his will. The main thing is we must recognize the will of God. So we need to understand God, understand the truth, understand his will, understand what is revealed, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and we know how to abide in Christ and he in us. So then we need to concentrate on nurturing our relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to know him, to walk with him, and in that context, we'll find the deepest joy and fulfillment, because it's only in God that we can find true joy and fulfillment. Together with that, a deep peace of God. No matter what you go through, it is possible. True well-being, effective service, fruitfulness, all this can only be in the Lord. So we must concentrate, not just pay lip service, but our lives must indeed be grounded in our knowledge of God, our relationship with him. So today I want to go on with the second related area, truth, be men of truth. So deep relationship with God, we want that, we must recognize it must be in the truth, because God is the God of truth. Psalm 31 verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit, you have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. So God is the God of truth, and the Lord Jesus, we know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So to have a deep relationship with God, it is only in the truth. But now I want to make some brief comments on the meaning of truth. We may think truth, we are so familiar with the term. But what is the meaning of truth in its wide and rich sense? The Bible doesn't always use the word truth in the same sense. But the richest, fullest meaning is what I'm trying to refer to when I say truth, what I'm covering with you today, and for us to be men of truth. So one aspect of the meaning of truth is that it is factual. It is objective truth as opposed to what is false, what is not true. But that is not all. The scriptures use the truth often including a positive moral spiritual dimension. For example, walking in truth. There's something positive in the moral and spiritual realm, and it is actually how we ought to conduct ourselves as God's children. It is how we ought to live in God's kingdom, walking in truth. It is what is good, what is right, what is constructive, what ought to be from the perspective of God's kingdom. Not what other people in the world tell you, but from the perspective of God's kingdom, what God desires and requires of us. And this is supremely manifested in the perfect example of the life of the Lord Jesus himself. The scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 verse 14. And that is grace and truth radiates from his being. He's full of grace and truth, first in his own being, and then in whatever he says, whatever he does, it is always a manifestation of truth. This is something very important for us to lay hold of. The Apostle John emphasizes this. We behold his glory. And what is that? Full of grace and truth. Grace because it's through grace that we can experience God and the blessings of God. It's only by his grace. The other is truth. So truth and grace radiates from the being of Christ. And this also ought to become a reality in our own lives. I'll come to this soon. So to relate with God in truth, what does that mean? It means we need to relate with God in an appropriate manner. What is suitable? He being our creator God. We are his creatures. So we must know who he is and how to relate with him. And this must be in accordance with God's revelation. The scriptures is not silent on this point. And a very important aspect that God requires of us in our relationship with him is that there must be the positive, moral, spiritual reality and meaning in our own heart. That is the way in which we can enter into deep fellowship and relationship with God. Together with that, a worshipful spirit of reverence and a heart that is committed to obedience to him. And it is very helpful for us to come to this point whereby having known who God is, the perfect God, and his love for us, his will for us is good, that we come to a point of commitment whereby we are able to recognize whatever the Lord desires, we will do it. Not just when the situation arises, then we consider, should I do it? And God help me to do it. Straight away, we come to a point of commitment whereby whatever the Lord requires, we know it is good. We are committed to it. And then in this situation, we find it difficult, yes, we cry out to God to help us. So our concentration is on knowing God, his will, and then asking him to strengthen us to walk in it. And that will be a life of joy, deep fulfillment, and fulfilling the perfect will of God in fruitful service, bearing good fruit in every good work. I now want to mention and raise for your consideration that this deep relationship with God in truth, it is very closely related to, and is bound up with the major aspects of the Christian faith. You'll find that as you read through the scriptures, as you become more conscious of the fundamentals of the Christian faith, you'll find they all bear a very close relationship with one another. You'll find the major areas of truth in your understanding, they contradict, they don't fit in together, then you know something is wrong. Because there is one God, and the whole body of truth he has revealed to us is an organic unity. It doesn't contradict. If it contradicts, something is wrong. So you'll find that, for example, we know worship is so important. I can see all of you expressing such enthusiasm in your time of worship. But what is true worship? Yes, there's a place to express it outwardly. But the most important, we'll now look at the scriptures, God is looking for true worshippers. Who are true worshippers? John chapter 4 verse 23 tells us, an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshippers. The scriptures seldom mention about what God is seeking for. But this is one place. It tells us, God is seeking for true worshippers. That means it is very important to God. So who are the true worshippers? They are those who worship God the Father in spirit and truth. So in spirit means from our spirit, from the depths of our heart, not just outward expression. Other people may look at you and think you're very reverent, you're worshipping, but is there that reality from your heart? That is the critical point. Then, in truth, we'll see more of that. Both must go together. And the Spirit includes the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, capital or small letter, it is not indicated. So it can be both. And from what I see, it requires both. From our spirit and guided by the Spirit, in the Spirit. Both are critical. So God is looking for true worshippers. Are we true worshippers? We must learn to worship God in spirit and truth. That means we must learn to worship God in a manner acceptable to God, according to his will and revelation, appropriate for who God is, and not just according to our own idea. Or we worship a God of our imagination. You may think, how can it be? But actually, many believers
here and there, they have wrong ideas about God. So then their worship of God is tainted. And some of us come from backgrounds where our understanding of a powerful being is quite different from the true God of the Scriptures. So we need our minds to be renewed to come to appreciate who is this true God of the Scriptures, so that we can worship the true God in a manner acceptable to Him. And worshipping God in truth, and the true worshippers that God is looking for, a very important aspect is truth in our being. In fact, this is vital. You may not be so familiar with this term, I'm not so sure, but this is in the Scriptures, and I want to say a little bit about this. Worshipping God in spirit, in truth, relating God in truth, it goes beyond our understanding. We may understand the truth, but are we actually worshipping God and relating with Him in spirit and truth? This requires truth in our being. It is important to God. It is what He desires in man. You see this in Psalm 51, verse 6. This is David speaking. He says, "Behold, you desire truth in an innermost being." David, in his expression of worship of God, prayer to God, that God desires truth in the innermost being, that is in the depths of our being. And what is that? That in our being, not just our understanding and what people tell us, what the Scriptures reveal, in our being. And that involves our character, our attitude. Just as the Lord Jesus, the reality of truth, full of grace and truth, and then truth radiates from His being. That is how it ought to be with us also, truth in our being. Then, if there's this reality, the truth in our being will be reflected in our daily lives, in our conduct, in our words, in what is important to us. And that is reflected in the life of a perfect example, the Lord Jesus. He is perfect. Example of this. We must learn to be like Him, conform to the image of Christ in this very major aspect. The Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth, we must also become men full of grace and truth. So it also means walking with God and serving Him in truth, with all our heart, in the good and right way. And this is what Samuel told the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. Samuel says that he's praying for the Israelites, and he says, "I will instruct you in the good and right way." And this is related to fearing the Lord, serving Him in truth with all your heart. They talk about the same thing. We must serve God in truth with all our heart. And this will include living our lives in the good and right way. Remember, truth includes what is appropriate in God's kingdom. And that way, what is good and what is right, what is appropriate. The other aspect is deep relationship with God in truth is bound up with the person and work of Christ. I mentioned major aspects of the Christian faith, they are bound up with this aspect of relating with God in truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a very major aspect of God's revelation and God's provision for us. So if we want to relate with God in truth, deep relation with God in truth, then we must deepen our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Know Him, relate deeply with Him, abide in Him, He in us, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. We'll see more of this in a subsequent message. The Lord Jesus Himself tells us He is the way to God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So He's the way to God. We want a deep relationship with God, it must be through Him. And not only for reconciliation to God, but also a deep relationship with God and making progress in our relationship with God. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, we've seen, He's full of grace and truth. And when we learn to abide in Him, He in us, more and more, we will also be conformed to the image of Christ, and grace and truth form in our being, radiate from our lives. So this is what John chapter 1, verse 17 tells us. Verse 14 tells us the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. Verse 17 tells us the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Old Testament, the law is given. But the law itself cannot change us, renew us. It shows us the way. But God Himself must do this work in our hearts. So the New Testament reveals more clearly to us, with the coming of Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we see grace and truth radiate from the being of Christ, but verse 7 tells us grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Realized means come into being, becomes true, becomes a reality. And what is that? Christ already, he's full of grace and truth. Now this part, a very important aspect, is talking about grace and truth being realized in us. The law cannot bring this about, but grace and truth can become a reality in our lives through Christ. So this is a very important area. And this would include transformation. You can put it as growth in moral and spiritual stature. This being conformed to the image of Christ. And I will elaborate this in a subsequent message. So the other major area, bound up with this area of truth and relating to God in truth, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to deepen in our relationship with God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is extremely important. He is the Spirit of truth. And the scriptures tells us that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all the truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. That's what the Lord Jesus himself tells us. The Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. How do we appreciate this verse? One way of appreciating it is to see from the angle that the Spirit of God guides us and helps us to understand, appreciate the truth, grant us spiritual insight. But I see we can go further, that the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all the truth, first to grant us understanding, spiritual insight, but also to enable us, to help us to enter into, to live out the life of truth, to absorb the truth in our innermost being, and then to live it out. So guide us into all the truth becomes real in our own lives experientially. Not just we recognize, but it becomes a part of us. The positive moral spiritual qualities, they become a part of our lives. So deep relationship with God must be in spirit and truth. Remember, worship God in spirit and truth. So it is in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of truth. You want to nurture a relationship with God. It cannot be outside of truth. It cannot be outside of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit is crucial. What God has provided for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, is crucial. We need to understand these things. The Holy Spirit will help us to understand, absorb, and live out the truth, and for truth to be formed in our innermost being. But we need to contrast and take a stand against the evil one. This is the contrast. And this is very important. Spiritual warfare is going on all the time, whether we realize it or we do not. Do not over-imagine things, but the evil one and the forces of darkness, they are all the time actively at work. We need to take our stand, guard against him. And the scriptures makes it very clear to us. If we want to nurture a deep relationship with God in the truth, then we must also learn, recognize, beware of the wiles, the lies, and evil influences of the evil one. Learn how to resist, to reject all that comes from the evil one, to take our stand. So first, we take our stand, submit to God, resist, reject all that comes from the evil one. But then we need to learn to recognize the wiles of the evil one. And we need to recognize how he tries to distort the truth so we are confused and we can become deceived, led astray. I cannot go into too much of that now, but just this point, why we need to take our stand and the evil one in contrast to the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth in the scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord Jesus tells us about the devil. He is a murderer right from the very beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. No truth in him. Exactly opposite to Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. Full of grace and truth. This evil one, there's no wiles of the evil one. You see, whenever he speaks from his own nature, from his being. He is like that. He's a liar, he's the father of lies. So we must be careful to take our stand and also to recognize his wiles. So he seeks by all ways and means to oppose God's intentions for mankind and also to wreck our lives. He's the enemy. And one major goal, area of attack, is to oppose, to hinder, to destroy our relationship with God. Because as we've seen, that is foundational, that is critical. So we must understand, when you're trying to nurture our relationship with God, there will be many, many different ways the evil one will seek to hinder. From making us tired, cannot hear, cannot hindrances in our time with God, and many different ways to lead us astray. many, many different problems in relationships. The evil one is at work behind all this. Recognize what he's doing, take our stand, pray against it. So a major means by which the evil one seeks to hinder us from recognizing, understanding the truth, or rather is to hinder us from recognizing, understanding the truth and living a life of truth, because we know this is critical. So there's no truth in him, he will hinder us from recognizing the truth. How? Through deception, through leading us astray, hindering us from understanding what God is trying to reveal to us in the scriptures. And if you have some idea what's going on in the universal church, and nowadays many of us can access the internet, you'll find there are so many different views. Christians, even those who believe in the authority of the scriptures, we have one Bible. How come there are so many different views, and many of them contradict one another? Why like that? The Bible is one. The truth cannot contradict one another. Different shades of understanding, yes. But when it contradicts, we know God doesn't contradict himself. The scriptural revelation, there is a body of truth that holds together. So we know the evil one is at work. This is a very problematic area. The other is the evil one also often tries to make us feel that the deeds of darkness are attractive and good. Good in quotation marks. He makes us feel it's good. It looks attractive. And that is the effectiveness of temptation. He won't tempt us and yet make it very boring, not attractive. Then it will not be effective. So this is one aspect we need to bear in mind. And that is actually how the evil one tempted Eve. I covered this in a series of messages on the two temptation scenes. In contrast, when the Lord Jesus, how he countered the evil one in Matthew chapter 4. Just a brief remark. If you look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And then she also gave it to her husband, and he ate. And he also ate. But the woman, how did she fall? When you look at this context, it's very clear. In the context, the evil one was at work. So the woman saw the tree was good for food, attractive. It was good for food. Delight to the eyes. Desirable to make one wise. But can it be God is withholding something good from man? No. But the evil one is deceiving Eve. But he makes it attractive. So bear in mind, many things that appear attractive may not necessarily be good, may not be necessary of the truth. We need to know the scriptures, know what is in the heart of God, and know what it means to walk humbly with our God. So a primary means of overcoming the evil one, when we are under attack, and sometimes you can be under severe attack, how to overcome the evil one. Sometimes we try to overcome him, we resist, reject, we find very difficult. I now want to summarize to you in a very brief statement how to approach it, how we can effectively overcome the evil one. And that is to be properly grounded in the truth. Very, very powerful against the evil one. If you are properly grounded in the truth, what does that mean? First, the knowledge of the truth, spiritual insight into the truth. Then you absorb the truth. Then there's truth in your innermost being. When there's truth in your innermost being, he has little ground to manipulate and to attack. He's effective when we give him ground in our hearts. Then the other is with the understanding of the truth. When the lies come, we can recognize. We can counter by the truth. The perfect example, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. His reply, it is written. The Lord Jesus, he knew the truth and it was a very powerful, effective application of the truth to resist, to reject the word of the evil one, and the evil one was not able to succeed and he had to depart. So true fellowship with God can only be in the light, in the truth. It's never in darkness and sin. Sin in our lives will always hinder us in our relationship with God. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 7. God is light, in him there's no darkness at all, absolutely. So if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. So sometimes we feel we have deep relationship with God, we tell others our relationship with God is very good. But if our lives, in our hearts, there's darkness, then it is not true. The quality of relationship with God cannot be good if there's darkness in our lives. Of course it's relative. None of us, our hearts are totally pure like God, like the Lord Jesus. It's relative. That is why verse 7 tells us, when we walk in the Lord, Or when we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We must walk in the light. We have fellowship with one another and also with God. But notice the last part, very interesting. The blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you notice a strange thing here? If we are walking in the light, then why should we be cleansed? The thing is, we see the light, we walk in the light, doesn't mean absolute purity. If we are basically walking with God in the light, we already have deep fellowship with God. And not only that, the blood of Jesus will continue to wash us. Because our hearts are in the right place. We know the truth, we can walk with God. Any of us totally, absolutely pure, nothing, no deficiencies in our hearts, no impurity within us? No. Purification is a continuing process. Growth unto moral, spiritual maturity until we depart from this earth. But we walk aright, the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us from all the impurities. But we must set our hearts on God and walk in the light. The next aspect in this life of truth, very important, is we must have the longing for the truth. You say, I'm walking the truth, I'm relating deeply with God in truth. But if there is no longing for truth in your heart, there's a major deficiency, and you can say your statement is basically not true. Those who truly long for deep, meaningful relationship with God must truly long for truth in their hearts. There's an eagerness to know the truth, but not just to know, that I know I filed it up in my brain somewhere. No, you know the truth, you absorb it, your mind is renewed, your heart changes. There's transformation taking place. It molds us, it transforms us, and we begin to live by the truth we come to understand. We see this attitude reflected by the psalmist. An example here, Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. O send out your light and your truth, let them lead me. So there's crying out to God. There's a longing to know the truth, the light, the truth. Let them bring me to your holy hill. The light will bring us to God's holy presence. There's this longing. And then you enter into God, to go to God, my exceeding joy. In God, you will find true joy. So, as I mentioned, if we lack such an attitude and spirit, our expression of love for God, our deep longing for a deep relationship with God, all that will be deficient. In our prayers, we tell God how much we love Him and so on. But in our heart, there's no longing for truth, or very minimal. Then we know something is wrong. Nurture that longing for truth. Know why truth is so important. And hopefully as I go on, it can help to nurture why truth is so important. So this eagerness to know the truth and live by it includes the eagerness also to understand ourselves, including knowing our deficiencies. Light comes, truth dawns, it reveals deficiencies in us. And many of us, sometimes, we cannot receive the truth properly because we do not want to face the truth. We don't want our deficiencies to be revealed. And so we give excuses, we rationalize away, we say, why I do this, I do that. But the Spirit of God doesn't have the freedom to speak to us, to show us the deficiencies in our heart, and that is very bad. We must long to know the truth. Light dawns, we know our deficiencies, we can then take corrective measures. And then our relationship with God will continue to grow well. So, if this is true, longing for truth, including knowing ourselves, do we respond well? When God gives us opportunities to know ourselves better, are we receptive? And I will tell you, God will definitely give each one of us and all of us many opportunities to know the deficiencies within our hearts, if in our hearts we are truly willing to receive, to understand, to change. Why? Because God wants us to be transformed. So He will show to us. But many of us are not hearing because we are not receptive. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, do not harden your hearts. So God wants to speak to us. We must not harden our hearts. So let us learn from the Apostle Paul. Paul mentions to us just now, but the Apostle Paul. There's so much we can learn from this great apostle. But this is one area. Paul is someone deeply concerned about the truth. First in his own life, and then the lives of others. Learn from him. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Paul says, we spoke all things to you in truth. Comprehensive. All things. Whatever we speak to you is in truth. Now, what does this mean? We spoke to all things to you in truth. There are several aspects to it. First, we spoke to you all things in truth. Is the content is truth, accurate. Paul pays attention to the things he speaks. We also need to be exercise care in what we speak. When we speak words of truth. But these words of truth are not just accurate. But also, the words of truth flow forth from a heart of truth. And this truth that comes out will minister life to others. It's living truth. So, this truth, when he says, I speak to you in truth, Paul speaks to us in truth, it includes the attitude, the motivation, the spirit of it. It is in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. That's how Paul speaks. Just as the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth, when he speaks, it's words of truth, not just the content is true, but the whole spirit, the reality that flows forth with it. And if you want to be God's effective footman, this is critical. Be men of truth, when you speak, the life, the reality, all that will flow forth, not just words. This is critical, how to be effective ambassadors for Christ. And Paul, he would persist in this path, even if it results in others viewing him unfavorably. This comes true in 2 Corinthians 13, verses 7 and 8. Paul says how he prays to God, that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. Very interesting how Paul puts it. Even if Paul says, even if I end up in an unfavorable light, that's not my main concern. My main concern is that you do no wrong. Not so much that I may then appear good, but that you will do what is right, even if we may appear unapproved. Afterwards, I'll go on to elaborate a little on this. That even when Paul ministers in truth, it doesn't mean everybody will view him very favorably. Paul says here in verse 8, very important, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. That's what he has devoted his life to. And the truth, at the heart of it, is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he wants this to be true of all that those he ministered to. So Paul and his co-workers, they wear a badge. Some of you, from time to time, wear a badge, and many of us now, we wear this name tag. But Paul wears a badge, which you cannot see with your physical eyes. What is that badge? It's the badge of truth. Paul wears the badge of manifestation of truth in his life. And this ought to be our approach to life also. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. We have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or doubting the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. All the time, manifestation of truth. Whatever he speaks, his words, his conduct from his heart. Like the Lord Jesus, radiating truth from his being. That's how we commend ourselves to others. And he says, in the sight of God. God says accurately. It's no point everybody say, oh, what a good man of truth. But in God's sight, it is not so. So Paul emphasizes very strongly, truth and love. They are closely related. Remember, truth, what is appropriate in God's kingdom, and of course at the heart of it is love. So truth and love, they must go together. If they don't go together, something is wrong. So Ephesians 4 verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, or you can translate it as, be truthful in love. Not just speaking, in everything. Truthful in love. Truth manifesting, and in a spirit of love. And this verse actually occurs in the context of Ephesians 4, I referred to you last night. This is the context of body life. As we all grow together unto maturity in Christ, this is very important. Be truthful in love. Don't just say nice things, but in the end it's not true. Be truthful in love. But don't just say, I'm speaking the words of truth, but it destroys people. Your motive must be to build up. But yes, sometimes unpleasant things have to be said. But the motive must be to build up, and that is love. Love doesn't mean always saying the pleasant things, but love doesn't speak and act to destroy someone else. That is the work of the evil one. So, be truthful in love leads to deep fellowship with God, as well as together with the brethren and all of us deepening our relationship with God. So, God is a God of truth and love. We need to be committed to work out our lives within the framework of truth and love. So this is actually the most meaningful, the most effective way we can live. But even if we live like that, bear in mind, it doesn't mean that everybody will be happy with us. We will always be well received. This comes true in the way Paul poses the question in Galatians 4, verse 16. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Paul knew. By telling the truth, some may not be happy. So sometimes people may not be happy when they speak words of truth. But we must still persist in it. But we need to look for wisdom, yes. Whether should we say it? It doesn't mean whatever we know, we must say it. God doesn't say everything to us that He knows. But He speaks to us according to His wisdom and love. We need to look to the Lord for wisdom, what to say. And what we understand will help to build up. So even though Paul knew that man may be upset with him, he knew that this approach to be truthful in love is something pleasing to God, and he will persist in it. So next issue is true freedom. All of us want true freedom. That true freedom is in the truth. The Lord Jesus tells us this is extremely important. By true freedom, I mean freedom from bondage to sin, freedom from bondage to the evil one. Not necessarily freedom from the sense that somebody may kidnap you, hold you, so you cannot move about freely physically. Sometimes under persecution, people, Christians may be imprisoned. That doesn't mean you have no true freedom. The true freedom is freedom from bondage to sin, bondage to the evil one, and very importantly, the freedom to know and to relate with God in increasing depth of meaning. God has the freedom to speak to us and to work in us, to work through us. And that context, we will enter into true freedom, joy, meaning, fulfillment, well-being. Freedom for God to work out His plans and purposes in our lives, and we working together with God. So the Lord Jesus tells us, to experience this true freedom, we must know the truth and abide in it. John chapter 8, verses 31, 32, and verse 36. The Lord Jesus were telling the Jews who believed Him. They believe Him. They say they believe Him, but Lord Jesus says, if. Very important. You believe Me? If you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the if there, very important. We are all God's children, but we must continue in His word. The truth that God reveals to us, the teachings of Christ, what is taught in the scriptures, then you are truly disciples. And then you will know the truth. So you know this, know the truth here, it's not just you recognize. You're abiding in it means you absorb it, you've lived it out. This is the real meaning of knowing the truth in its rich sense. Not just recognizing the truth. First, important, recognize, absorb it, live it out. That's the true knowing of the truth. And then the truth will make you free. Verse 36, the Lord Jesus says, so if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. This is why you say, oh, we are not slaves. But the Lord Jesus says, you sin, you are a slave of sin. You are enslaved to sin. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. So the true freedom is in the truth and in Christ. In the power of the Lord. Then we will be truly free in Him, in the truth. So we must pay heed to what the Lord has to say. And then we abide in His will. In His will, we will become true disciples. We will be true disciples. We reflect the character of the Lord. In that way, we truly know the truth. We have true freedom in the Lord and in the truth. So then, to sum it up, in terms of what I'm trying to communicate, the goal is that, a major aspect of the goal is to become men of truth. Become men of truth. It's my prayer that each one of us here will become men of truth in increasing measure. Don't say, I've already attained, now I'm a man of truth, that's it. Increasingly, more and more, men of truth. In the direction of Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth in its total absolute sense. But we must know it is only by the grace of God. Not if we strive very hard, we can become men of truth, and by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So this comes through in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, the use of this word, of this phrase, men of truth. There's such a phrase. It's not just I coined this phrase. It's in the scriptures. Moses' father-in-law told Moses, select all the people, those who are able, who can help him to shoulder the responsibilities. He says, men who fear God, men of truth. Those who hate dishonest gain, and then you can place them over the others as leaders of hundreds, of thousands of hundreds, and so on. So what are these men who are men of truth? They can show the leadership responsibilities. They hate dishonest gain. It points in what direction? What we are talking about just now. These are men who are reliable, who are honest, who are faithful, men of integrity, who will walk with God and serve Him in truth and sincerity. So this is how we must move towards in that direction. And this is how Joshua exhorted the Israelites, how to live their lives. And this was Joshua just before he, shortly before his departure from this earth. Chapter 24, verse 14 of Joshua. He says, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and truth. Not just outwardly, we do all kinds of things and we appear very religious, very spiritual, very zealous. There's a place for outward expression. Be very careful. I'm not saying there's no place for that. Don't just say, I'm very spiritual, all inside. If there's truth now being, it will radiate out. It will result in outward expression. But outward conduct itself doesn't necessarily mean that all is well. The reality inside, in sincerity and truth. And God knows our hearts. There is a reality there. So we find that's how David, before he left this earth also, how he charged Solomon to exercise care, to walk before God in truth with all his heart and with all his soul, walking the ways of God, deepening and rather in keeping the commandments of God. And if he does that, he will succeed. So how, we want to be successful. Not the world's success, but success in God's kingdom. Is there a place for that? Yes. In the book Two Kingdoms, I mentioned briefly about this. In the future, the Lord willing, I mean, go further in some of these things in future books. But now we have to concentrate on this, is that there is a very important place for true success. How to be truly successful? This is the way. 1 Kings 2, verses 1 to 4. About time for David to depart, he charged Solomon, his time. He says, be strong. And many in the world also may pet one another, those who are going to difficulty, say, be strong, don't be fearful. But they can be empty words. But for David here, it's not just empty words. Because what follows is how you can be truly strong. How you can be truly strong. Be strong. How? Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways. Keep His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances. That is basically keeping the truth as revealed by God. Obey Him. That you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. No matter where you are, you can be successful. God wants you to be successful. In all that you do, you can be successful. God wants you to be successful. Not according to the eyes of the world, but in God's kingdom. How? So that the Lord may carry out His promise which He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul. This is how you can succeed. You are careful to walk. He says, Solomon, David told Solomon, you must be careful to walk before the Lord with all their heart. This is at the heart of what God wants to communicate in the Old Testament. True also in New Testament, that the Israelites, they must be careful to walk before God in truth with all their heart, with all their soul. So if you want to nurture a deep relationship with God, live a successful life, we must also live in this way. Exercise the care to walk before God in truth with all our heart, not half-heartedly, and truly walk in the ways of God. I've mentioned we all do have weaknesses, deficiencies in our hearts. If you deny it, it will not be helpful for you. You are not facing the truth. But let us not be perturbed. Just because there are weaknesses, deficiencies, we can change. And God wants to change us. If there's a deep love for the truth, yes, we will make good progress in dealing with our deficiencies. There's an eagerness to know the truth, absorb the truth, to walk in it. If we do, we have that kind of spirit more and more. The light of God will shine, we will recognize the deficiencies, we will also know how to deal with it. God will help us, and we will make good progress to deal with our weaknesses, our deficiencies, and then more and more we will be able to work on the positive. Our relationship with God working out the positive will of God. So, to live this life well, become men of truth, we must be receptive to the truth and what God has to say. And there are key verses in the scriptures to exhort us in that direction. The Lord Jesus himself tells us that this is the way to ensure we will live fruitful lives. You want to be a faithful servant of the Lord, workman of God? This is critical. Be receptive to the truth, what God has to say. You want to be truly wise? In the eyes of the Lord, not in the eyes of the world. You want to be stable? You want to have a strong foundation? I'll now refer you to a few key verses that tells us we can be wise, we can have a strong foundation, we can live fruitful, effective lives. So the fruitful life is a seed sown on good soil. The seed sown on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast, and then you'll bear fruit with perseverance. So the word is the word of truth. You must be receptive. That's the good soil. And this is not something that God can just give it to you. You must be willing. Then you tell the Lord, I want to be the good soil. Help me to be receptive. And the Lord will help you. If in your heart you want to change, God will help you. It's not just struggling on your own. But you cannot just wait for God to bring it about. You yourself must have that longing. And you cry out to God. He will help you. But you see, the seed sown beside the road on rocky soil among the thorns, verses 12 to 14, they do not bear good fruit. So it doesn't mean you are a Christian, you will be effective. And look at the wise man. He built his house on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. This at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, after all the Lord Jesus has spoken, a very powerful, profound sermon on the Mount. What the Lord Jesus says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You hear, you must act on them. But before you act on them, you must receive them into your heart. The act on them actually includes receiving your heart. And then you live by it. And then, Lord Jesus, you'll be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. This is not what other people say. It's in the eyes of the Lord, you're a wise man. Rain comes down, floods come. This physical, what we're experiencing these few days. But more critical is as you walk with God, there can be terrible floods and rain that can shake us, even at times. Very damaging to our lives if we do not know how to respond well. But if we are grounded in the truth, the rain comes, the floods come, the winds blow, they slam against that house, it will not fall. Why? It has been founded on the rock. And that is the rock of truth. And the heart of the rock of truth is Christ himself, the truth. But the foolish man, he does not act on the words of the Lord Jesus. What happened? The floods came, winds blow, destroyed. Verse 26. The other to note that if you have this kind of receptive heart, it means not selective. Whatever God sees fit to speak to us, what he wants to speak to us, we must gladly receive into our hearts, not grudgingly. And God can speak to us through the scriptures. He can speak to us through people. That includes our friends, the brethren. But he can even speak to us through our enemies, through non-Christians. Not necessarily directly, but indirectly. God is teaching us something. We can even learn from the bad examples of people. Not follow them, but God can speak to us. Don't be like that. And you see negative traits in other people, you say, oh, that's bad. Then the Lord may speak to you. You also have that in your own heart. So there are many different ways God can speak to us. Are we open? Will we receive? The Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, this is in the context of the temptation by the evil one. He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Notice that every word, not selective, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we must receive it. This is important. Man shall not live on bread alone. So don't eat. The bread here is physical bread. The Lord just tempted to change the stone to bread. The Lord just, man shall not live on bread alone. But look at his words carefully. He didn't say, don't eat bread, cannot eat. He says, man shall not live on bread alone. We need spiritual food. But not only that. Notice here, physical food is needful for our physical health and nourishment. But likewise, God's instructions and God's words are vital for our spiritual health and nourishment. Not only that, the latter is of greater significance. The spiritual food is more important than the physical food. That is why the Lord Jesus, in that context, when he said this word, he was rejecting the temptation to command the stones to become bread. Even though he was hungry, he was legitimate to eat food. Why is it he didn't want to command the stones to become bread? Because at that point in time, it was not the will of God the Father for him to do that. Even though he was hungry, he will not command the stones to become bread. He had the power, but he will not. Why? He wants to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So physical difficulties, all that, they are secondary. Faithfulness to God, receiving what God has to say to us, is primary. In this context, it's also relevant just to brief mention that live on every word of God, not selective, does not mean that we can at times have greater confidence in some people and what they say, because we find them to be more reliable in helping us to know God and the truth. We have greater confidence in some. Nothing wrong with that. We are more wary, more careful not to be negatively influenced by those whom we know their lies, their teaching are unreliable. We are on our guard. We are more careful to just receive what they say. Even though it may appear good, we are careful. There's a place for that. That is, if we have good grounds and proper basis for having such views of people. Live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doesn't mean, not selective, means everything we just absorb. No. But at the same time, we also must be careful not to become prejudiced against any person or any source, so that God wants to speak to us through that person, we cannot, because we have a prejudice. So we cannot receive. This person speaking, I cannot. Not that you tell yourself you cannot. It's just inside your heart is like that, so you cannot receive. On the other side of it, there are those whom we find more reliable. We also must bear in mind this point. We can learn more from them. Yes, we respect them. But we also must not indiscriminately just receive from any person or any source, even if they are generally reliable. There's only one source when we can have absolute confidence, and that is God Himself and what He has revealed in the Scriptures. That we can absorb wholeheartedly. Once we recognize it is a truth that God has revealed. But other people, we have to consider whether is it in line with the will of God, scriptural revelation. So knowledge of the truth is vital, also from the angle that it's a basis of true faith. I covered this quite a bit in the Man of Faith, the book, Man of Faith. If you want to truly have true faith, become a man of faith, knowledge of the truth is vital. And this verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. For salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. We have to grow until full maturity, sanctified. It's by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So faith is very important, but the faith must be grounded in the truth. Otherwise, it's not true faith. Faith can feed and help us to grow. Or rather, truth will help us to grow in our faith. But we must receive the truth in faith and live it out. And so that's why our time with God every day is important. To read the Scriptures and also to reflect, to draw near to God, to hear what He has to say to us, because we know the Scriptures is inspired by God. And through the Scriptures, God can speak to us, help us be clearer of His will. But not only our time with God set apart, this must be complemented by, at all times, a consciousness of God. A heart of thanksgiving, a heart of worship, a heart that's receptive, sensitive to Him. What is He trying to teach us in the different situations we go through? And all the time, actually, there are many things God wants to teach us in our daily lives. But are we hearing? Are we learning? This is a very important part of our growth. And then we can be effective servants of God. Even in the midst of service, we must be attentive to how God is guiding us, how to go about it. That will help you significantly be effective. And the different situations of life, as I mentioned, God will also speak to us to show us our deficiencies, our weaknesses, so that we can take corrective measures. So it is also crucial for us to make good use of all opportunities that God makes available to us to help us deepen our knowledge of God and of the truth. Sometimes it's just provided for you. When you go for worship, there's a speaker there. But there are some steps that you may have to take. Even coming to this conference, yes, it's made available, but you must also choose to want to come. So avail yourself of opportunities that you recognize are helpful for your growth, your development. There are also provisions on the internet, but there, take care. There's a lot there that's not helpful, that can be dangerous. But if you know there are websites that are very good, reliable, benefit from them. Helpful books, materials. And this is something I'm very appreciative of, the work of CGM. And that's why so many of my books, Sister Rosalie overseeing, distributing, I'm thankful. And we collaborate a lot on this, because I know this is one of the major aspects of the work of CGM, to make available good literature for the equipping of God's servants. So this is important. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul talks about being constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine. It can nourish us, but remember, it must be words of the faith and sound doctrine. That will nourish us, but not when it's tainted. So just briefly, brief concluding remarks. How can our lives become truly strong? How can our ministry be effective? The strength and quality of our personal life, as well as our ministry, we can say is deeply related to two areas. You can put this many different ways, but this is one way to put it. If you can remember this, and you concentrate on these two, and you're really faring well, you're assured. You will grow well, you will serve well. Just these two areas. One is our relationship with God. The quality and knowledge of our relationship with God, the quality of our knowledge of God and our relationship with God, our walk with Him. This is a very major area, fundamental, foundational, which we covered last night. But the other is the breadth, the depth of our understanding, as well as absorption, outworking of truth, what God has revealed in the Scriptures. When these two come together, you're on your way. That's why the Lord Jesus says, if you're a good soil, you receive the truth, you'll bear good fruit. You receive His words, you abide by it, you are true disciples of His, you know the truth, you'll be set free. Receive His words, act on it, you're a wise man. You're building a house on the rock. You just think about it. Is it not so? If we are deepening our relationship with God, our understanding continues to grow in God, knowledge of God as well as His ways. We absorb it, we live out. Will you not grow? Will you not become effective servants of the Lord? Surely that will be the case. They also help us to be sensitive to God and His guidance. So concentrate on these two foundational aspects of our lives and you will not go wrong. So in our personal lives as well as our ministry, we must focus on God and truth. That's why my website is known as godandtruth.com. To know God, to know the truth, and to absorb, and the truth and our relationship with God, the difference to come about. So the basis of our lives and our convictions in every aspect, every area of life, must always be God and truth. You cannot say, I love God, but not interested in the truth. You cannot say, I'm walking the truth, but your relationship with God is not good. It's not true. Both must go together. If you love God, you will love the truth. If you're walking in truth, you'll be walking with God. You want to check yourself? That's the way to check it. Do I really love God? Do you love the truth? Are you walking the truth? Am I really walking the truth? Is your relationship with God deepening? So I'll just end on this note. Bear in mind, inadequate false basis, which influences many Christians. And it's popular opinion. You're already doing this, everything that we tend to follow. That is not a proper basis. Our own feelings, desires, inclinations often will affect how we live. That is not a proper basis. What we think is expedient, that means what we think is good, right, may not be correct. A person or people we admire, we respect, yes, pay heed here, but it cannot be the basis. We still have to consider, is it really in line with the will of God? Is it in line with the truth revealed in the Scriptures? We pay due attention to what they have to say, evaluate, but only God and truth can be the proper basis for our lives and our ministry.